T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mully and Haw, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs is a football man from the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, we got a quarterback competition in town, and it's nice to know that a guy isn't just named the starter when he's the starter, but he competes for it. So that applies to either Mitchell Trubisky or one Nick Foles. Who's the favorite? How does this thing shake out? What's your thought?
Well, I think Nick Foles is unquestionably the favorite to be the starter week one. And I believe that barring an injury to Foles, or Foles just completely falling on his face, which I wouldn't expect given his experience with this offense or offenses that are very similar to this, he's going to be the guy. You bring in a guy from the outside and you announce that you're going to have a competition for the starting job. Well, what's that tell you? That tells you that the guy that you had performed so poorly that you deemed a competition necessary. All right. So by virtue of that, I don't see, you know, what Mitch Trubisky is going to be able to do in a year in which there could be zero offseason program, zero anything to basically win back his starting job. They have yet to commit to the fifth-year option in Trubisky's contract for 2021, which I don't expect him to do. I think they're about as close to moving on as they can be without naming Foles the starter. That's my opinion.
Brad, when you look at the way that Nick Foles did a crazy restructure of his contract, and that was his word, not ours, and you wrote about it some in the Tribune today, number one, does that just underscore how motivated he was to get to Chicago because of maybe some assurances he was given about the opportunity here? Or how did you interpret the way that his contract was restructured?
Well, I think Nick Foles was probably smart enough, and the people advising him were smart enough to realize that he was going to have to do something to that contract to be traded to any type of situation that would be deemed appealing to him. You know, there was just too much money left on that deal. Foles had $57 million left over 3 years on the contract that he signed 13 months ago, which if that's the price tag and it's not going to move, he's untradeable, okay? Things didn't go well in Jacksonville. He's replaced by the sixth-round draft pick Gardner Minshew. Jacksonville has turned the page. They're moving on. No one's going to take on that kind of money for a quarterback with Foles' resume. So he was going to have to make concessions and in the deal that he was able to strike with the Bears, there's some upside for him. There's some upside for the team, and the Bears feel comfortable, or as comfortable as they can, having brought in a quarterback that the coaching staff has experience with, and again, you know, has some knowledge of the offense.
Brad, it was interesting to hear from everyone, including Robert Quinn. And I said in the 5 at 5 that I really did believe that the comments he made about flipping a coin between Atlanta and Chicago and then not even knowing that Chuck Pagano was the defensive coordinator, Chuck Pagano, who had apparently recruited him when he was coming out of high school, that sort of underscored to me that this is sort of a mercenary move for him. He's interested in the money, not necessarily in who he's playing for, what the scheme is, what the sit. It's you know, have sack will travel. And I don't know. I don't know if that's a good thing, a bad thing. He's going to be here for a while. The contract's a long one. What was your take?
Yeah, well, I had the same take as you did. You know, the idea that he wasn't familiar with who the defensive coordinator was, that underscores what we always say, guys. Money is king during free agency. Okay, it's all about the dollars. You know, Ryan Pace said during part of the conference call that he and Matt were on that the Bears have felt like they've been able to do a better job of recruiting in free agency the past couple of years, that it's been easier for them. And I think with some of the guys that they've brought on board, that's certainly been the case, because Nagy's had some pull with some of these guys. But in the case of Robert Quinn, listen, who are we kidding? What was alluring to him was $30 million guaranteed, which will pay out over the first 2 years of that contract for a guy that's going into year 10 in the National Football League. If he can come close to producing as he did this past year for the Cowboys, that's going to be money well spent for the Bears. If he doesn't, that's not going to be money well spent, because they're paying him pretty big-time money to come in and be what's a complimentary guy to Khalil Mack. Robert Quinn had to be excited, too, because he knows he's going to be able to put down some roots. I believe this is his fourth team in the last four seasons.
Jimmy Graham's name came up, obviously, Brad. I don't think that Ryan Pace was asked directly if there were any other teams competing with him. I don't think he would have revealed that. But they both guys sounded excited about the one aspect we've talked about a lot with Jimmy Graham. It's not necessarily where is he at this stage of his career in terms of speed and all those things, but the mismatch opportunities that having a guy like that, especially the red zone, present. And both guys think that is going to make that a worthwhile investment.
Yeah, and they had to do something at the tight end position. They may have to do more at the tight end position, but I think the sentiment when they talked about Jimmy Graham was that's a player that the coach sounded excited about. And if that's the case, that's the best case scenario for the Bears. If Matt Nagy was behind that move or fully supported that move, and you know that sometimes personnel people bring in players that coaches are meh, you know, and sometimes they bring in players that coaches are fired up about, and sometimes personnel people are going to bring in players that coaches aren't necessarily doing handstands for. But if Matt was the driving force behind that, I think you've got an opportunity to see what the best is that Jimmy Graham, has left to offer in his career.
What does it mean to the backups at that position? You know, you don't have to start counting on your fingers to figure out that
there's nine. Yeah.
Yeah. They've got a lot of guys and they, as you say, very excited about Jimmy Graham, but I don't know that you can run that scheme without the U tight end. And
And that's why Nagy's excited. Another kind of a little something to play around with.
Well, if you're building an offense for Nick Foles, and you're looking for some elements that are going to help him have success, you go back to the 2017 Eagles, the team that reached the Super Bowl with Foles replacing Carson Wentz late in that season and then leading them through the playoffs. That team had four tight ends that could all produce a little bit on offense, including, you know, Burton, who was near the bottom of the depth chart in Philadelphia, and did enough, though, for the Bears to see upside and pay big money to him in free agency in 2018. So, you know, are they looking to really strengthen that position because they believe Foles is the kind of quarterback that needs those comfortable middle-of-the-field throws? I think that could probably be behind some of it. As they sort out that position, obviously a couple guys are going to have to go. You can't start with nine tight ends in the room. I mean, there's not enough chairs. The room isn't big enough. So they've got to cut a little bit there. They've got to see if maybe there's another young guy that they could potentially add to the mix, and then you go out and you hope, by golly, that you can get some legitimate production from that position this season.
Brett, on one hand, you hear from Ryan Pace, and he says that Jermaine Ifedi, the free agent from the Seahawks, is going to move inside to guard, and you think, okay, that's probably why they targeted him, and a veteran that's going to stabilize a position that needs stabilized. And then on the other, you see what the contract is and the terms, and it really is not much of an investment at all. It's $1 million veterans, I think, minimum for a guy that has 60 NFL starts. What do you think we can expect reasonably from Ifedi as somebody who, you know, could help in that line?
Yeah, well, I look at Ifedi right now, and I figure that unless he just bombs, which you would expect he would not, given he was highly regarded coming out of Texas A&M, first-round draft pick by the Seahawks. Granted, it was at the end of the round, but they thought enough to grab him in round one, and he's got all that playing experience. He started almost his entire rookie season at right guard for Seattle before moving out to right tackle, where he played the last three seasons and racked up way too many penalties. So I think the Bears feel like Juan Castillo can potentially bring out the best in this guy. And he's going to fill, again, unless he just completely fails, he should fill one of two roles for the Bears. Either he can win that right guard job, and they're going to obviously provide some competition there, or be the swing tackle. And so either way, I think they look at him as a guy who can help him out. And if he's in a backup role, the nice thing you have there is you've got some position flexibility with him. He's a guy that's played tackle and guard. And when you're, you know, not a starter, the more you can do as a backup, the greater value you provide to the roster. And Ifedi on a one-year deal, he's still young, so he's got to be looking at this as a prove-it deal for him. If he goes out and performs well, maybe he can get something that's more lucrative. You know, Cornelius Lucas didn't strike it rich with the Redskins, but he turned a minimum deal a year ago for a chance to compete as the swing tackle for the Bears into a nice little two-year deal from the Redskins, where he gets about $3 million with upside beyond that. So Ifedi has to be dreaming bigger than that, I would think, and hopefully Juan Castillo can find out what makes him tick and get him playing at a higher level than he was at in Seattle.
How much you like what the Bears have managed to achieve here in the offseason, but I noticed ESPN had them ranked 19th in the league in their rankings last week. The online sports book Bovada has the Packers at a plus 130 favorite in the division, with the Vikings plus 185, the Bears plus 375, third, and the Lions at plus 850. I don't know if you take any of that into account, but doesn't seem to be as much kind of national interest or gambling interest in the Bears as you might imagine, given some of these moves.
Yeah, well, I think nationally, I think people would look at the Bears and say, well, they've got Trubisky, who on a national level doesn't have any cachet right now, and they bring in Foles, who's a guy who some people are going to look at and say, well, the stars aligned for him at one point when he was with the Eagles, but they don't have much in the way of a quarterback that on the outside people are going to say, hey, same old Bears, that the problems begin and end with the quarterback position. I think free agency has been panned by some people because even if Jimmy Graham goes out and performs significantly beyond what he did in Green Bay, I don't know how he's worth $9 million for this season. They paid a lot of money for a complimentary edge rusher that's entering year 10 in the National Football League. So I think people on the outside have looked at some of the free agent moves and considered them curious. You know, we've talked about it previously. Where has Ryan Pace had success in free agency in the past? Where has he really hit on some of these guys? And those players have generally been guys that have been coming out of their rookie contract from other teams, guys entering the prime of their NFL career in year five, that type of thing. And we don't see as much of those guys this year. If Foles can be the kind of guy that Nagy is fired up about, if he can bring that to the offense, if the offensive linemen can improve, that we know the defense is going to be good. And if that's the case, certainly you would believe that they could compete in the division and perhaps provide some real value on some of those odds.
All righty, Bigsy. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it. Stay safe.
Good stuff, Brad. Thanks a lot.
Stay safe, guys.
Yep, you too.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs of the Chicago Tribune. 312-644-6767. There are two topics on the table. We talked to KC. And we talk to Brad, and we'll talk Bulls and Bears and maybe connect a few dots next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 and score.
You're going to be given the keys to the kingdom. This is full authority to make basketball decisions. This is the number one job. John will be around. We all know how much the Reinsdorfs like and value him. But, John's not going to be hovering. That's not who John is. You guys know John. He wants what's best for the Bulls. He will not be hovering. So, this person, whoever they hire, will be allowed to bring in additional staff, is my understanding. So they're going to be able to build out this infrastructure the way he sees fit. So I think this is a really good job, and that's why it's critical the Bulls get this hire right.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. And, David, I really like their list, and I like the idea that there aren't the biggest names in the world. There aren't the guys you got to pay big money to, and there aren't the agents. They're going modern, but they're going modern with kind of young rising executives that can grow with the organization.
Well, they're not getting swept away necessarily with the trend, right? With the way the Knicks went and with the way you can find an agent that's capable of running your organization, but I don't know that you want to force that either. Just because you want to be part of something that looks like, a new trend or maybe it's something that isn't as tried and true as we've been made to believe. I like their list because, Mully, they're identifying executives who have had success or have learned from bosses who have been to the top. And, we just know of the three guys who they have targeted and the fourth, Chad Buchanan from the Pacers, who does not want to interview, but there are more, as KC alluded to. But the three that we know of are Tyrus Karnisovas from the Nuggets, the general manager there, Bobby Webster from the Raptors, who is the youngest general manager in the NBA at 35 years old, and also Adam Simon from the Heat, the vice president of basketball operations, who's worked under Pat Riley. These are guys who are not unknowns in the league. They're unknowns to people maybe in Chicago who aren't necessarily, you know, because they're not Sam Presti, they're not Masai Ujiri, but these are guys who have a lot of respect and solid reputations and would be viewed in the industry as home run hires.
Yeah, I think that I think it's a really good list, and I like a lot about it. I think that people that are outside looking in, I mean, I think there's always that kind of, you want the biggest name, you want to go ahead and hire, but I don't know how legitimate that is, or how much you can expect that from the Bulls. I think, you know, Casey rattled off some of the reasons this is a good job. One of them has got to be the fact that they hire people and keep them. They hire people and they let them do their job and let them make a mistake. And they're more patient than a lot of teams are. And once you do a good job, you've got a job for life.
Until it comes to the coach. Yeah, I think that you're right in the front office. Yeah, coaching's a different
story.
Well,
that's the position. The position is the front office. You're right about the coach.
You're right. The final decision maker. And I think, though, the way fans are viewing this, and I think there's going to be a lot of skepticism because of what KC, you know, reaffirmed, is that John Paxson is not leaving the building. He just will take on a lesser role. And I don't envision that role being somebody even as involved necessarily as Kenny Williams with the White Sox. I mean, that will be maybe the commensurate position. But do you really think that Kenny Williams has hovered over Rick Hahn? I mean, maybe at times, yeah. I think he's been more visible than maybe some people have been comfortable with. But I don't see – I think Kenny Williams probably has a harder time stepping into the background than John Paxson will. And certainly Kenny Williams won a World Series as a general manager, so there's a lot of – you know, there's, you have to consider that as well. But I don't see this as being necessarily difficult as in a transition in terms of reality or the perception. Now, I think it'll be harder with the perception because people will still see Paxson there and have an issue with that for whatever reason. But they're committed. I know just in talking to people over the weekend, Molly, they're committed to modernizing the front office, having depth in the front office, revamping their scouting, and doing whatever's necessary to get the Bulls back into a position to compete for championships. And I think that is the stated goal.
And I like the question that you asked as well, the idea that that you have to have people. It's all these relationships, and you have to have people that connect with players, right? And you've got to have a former player or two that has been through the wars and is of recent vintage in terms of being able to connect with the changes that have occurred in the league.
Yeah, you do. I mean, that's why you have a guy like Michael Finley being recommended, and you can't dismiss it when Mark Cuban says that he would consider not granting permission to the Bulls if they wanted to interview Michael Finley. It speaks to just how valuable he has become in an executive role. You want somebody like that who players will look at and gravitate toward. I don't know if any of these, you know, candidates have that kind of cachet, they have that sort of gravitas among the player community, but you just look at, you know, one by one, and you think that they are accomplished. I mean, in terms of having, you know, an experience level, Adam Simon was part of the Heat dynasty. You know, he was there when they were winning championships. He's been there for 25 years. He's been part of the, you know, for very good drafts. They've got some very good undrafted players. They've gone every route, free agency, draft, undrafted free agents, and he's seen how Pat Riley has done that. When you look at Bobby Webster at Toronto, he has been there. He's only 35 years old, but he's considered a cap expert. He's a guy that worked for Masai Ujiri. He's been part of that championship run. They've done it a lot of variety of ways. They have a reputation for being draft-driven. And then, of course, I think the most intriguing one to me is in terms of experience, Arturis Karnisovas of the Nuggets. That's a team that's up and coming, Molly. It's hard to win in the Western Conference, especially at a place like Denver, and they have done it in a variety of ways, the last two seasons especially, and they've done it with a roster he's helped put together, and he's also older maybe than some of these other guys, but also comes with a lot more maybe experience and potentially respect.
Yeah, I very curious about which route they end up going and how much those things matter to them. I mean, You're absolutely right. When you look at a guy like Bobby Webster, I mean, he has this sort of he looks like he's about 15 years old. He has this sort of background working in the league office, helping teams understand different ways to work the salary cap, and has been a part, as you say, kind of a capologist as well as a guy that has, you know, been around a championship team. So I think there's a lot of appeal to a guy like that. I don't know. I don't know what route they will end up going, because I don't know exactly I don't know exactly what they are looking for. Are they looking for you would say off the top of your head, are they looking for a better understanding of what their cap looks like and how you can manipulate it? Are they looking for a guy that has more foreign contacts? Has the game moved in that direction? And are they looking to get a little piece of the Pat Riley model? I don't know that that's all about being able to win the draft or, you know, player development, or is it all about being able to recruit guys and bring them in, right? When you think about the best teams they've had in Miami and the best players they've had.
Right. That's a good point. And I think the one thing that I found interesting too is that even as this search sort of continues and the public aspect of it kind of resumes or maybe begins this week with interviews expected to begin, most people were triggered by the fact that Chad Buchanan, the Pacers assistant who had a role in the Pacers, I think he had, maybe the Jet is a general manager, his exact title, I have to check, but he's staying in Indy rather than joining the Bulls. And some people will interpret that, Mully, and already have, as an indication of just how far the Bulls have fallen and why, this organization is facing the kind of jeopardy that they're facing is because if it can't even lure somebody from Indianapolis to Chicago, it says everything about the state of the Bulls. I think it's more complicated than that. I don't think it's as simple as just that because of the relationships that we talk about, because of, you know, we're in the midst of a pandemic and a lot of people might not want to uproot their careers and their families. I get that. But that is what will be the focus of some people, because they'll look at the Bulls and they can't even get this right because a guy can't even leave the Pacers for the Bulls. Who could have imagined that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you want to go negative, if you're looking for reasons to get upset, there are reasons there. Dustin wanted to compare this guy, Chad Buchanan, to a G.I. Joe doll or to a Ken doll or something, because he didn't like the fact that the guy wasn't going to come interview in Chicago. You're not locked into that particular gig, right? It's just an interview. And maybe you don't even want to be teased into it. Maybe you don't even want to make your case because you're very happy where you're at. Who knows what the family situation is? Who knows why? You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a basketball decision. And if it is a basketball decision, then that's not the guy you needed anyway. So you will be able to get somebody. You will be able to get somebody very good. And I don't think you'll worry about what happened to a guy that didn't want to interview with you. There's plenty of people that will and that want to be here, and you'll find the right guy.
Do you think that the new guy, whoever it is, will take a long look at Jim Boylan? Do you think the new guy will change coaches immediately, have the autonomy to do so? Where do you think that their new hire will stand in regard to at least having the chance or the power to do what he wants with the coaching position?
Generally speaking, the way these things usually work, there is a certain amount of lip service given. And if the owner really wants to keep the coach, he might say, you know, do me a favor and take a look at him before you make a decision. Talk to him before you make a decision. And generally speaking, there could be a transitional year before you fire the coach. But I think that there's a long-term chance that the new general manager doesn't have his own guy. I think long-term, in any situation I've seen, David, and you can probably tell me some that aren't off the top of my head, guys come in and they usually like to change things and have their people there. Guys are also willing to come in and give a guy a look in order to appease the people that hired him. But eventually, if you have that power, you exercise it.
And I think that, you know, if you are looking in the case of the Bulls, I think it depends. And if the coach were a guy that had had some success or even a degree of success, you would want that new decision maker to maybe exercise some patience and maybe some restraint. But I don't know that that's the case here. I think that when you look at how impatient people are for change in the front office, they're just as frustrated with the state of the coach. So that urgency is there as well. So I don't think that the new general manager, we might face pressure to make a change rather than to keep a guy, which might be unusual. True. So that would be something I would expect the power to be granted. And it wouldn't shock me if there is a change. You find a new decision maker, it wouldn't be long before you're looking for a new head coach.
Yeah. And David, I think that, for the betterment of the organization, it might be, if you're hiring a person, you might want to let them make a change at the head coaching position, because that would look like change everywhere, as opposed to it might look like you're just fronting an operation now. You brought in a yes man. You don't want that. So you want to be careful about perception as well. Let's get out to the phone lines. We've got Charlie. Charlie is listening online. Good morning, Charlie. How are you?
Good morning, Charlie.
Not too bad, guys. You know, the problem is the Bulls aren't the Bulls of the 90s. That's the problem. And they've had a brief little stint there with Derrick Rose, and that's it. Now, my thing is, if you're going to hire a new GM, you're going to hire somebody to come in and take over this operation, you're going to hire them and let them fire this coach who's a joke? Are you going to make them keep this guy because he's, quote-unquote, your guy? Well, he's not the guy. He hasn't been the guy.
Thanks, Charlie. I don't think that you're going to put any sort of conditions on the new decision maker as it pertains to Jim Boylan. I think they're going to, and anybody coming in is going to have that sort of autonomy. But I do agree with KC. I think it potentially has the makings of being a very attractive job. You have a lot of things in place. It is Chicago. You do have history. You do have a dynasty that you can use. You don't have to use it. It just speaks to the tradition that you want to restore. And that is what this job is all about still.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about it. I disagree. I think there's a lot going to it with coming to the Bulls. I think, number one, as we just discussed, the idea is that you get power, right? And isn't that what everybody wants in the NBA? Isn't that what anybody wants when they were a sports executive? So that's number one. You are the man. You get the job, and they're going to do everything they can to keep you in it. Number two, you're not moving to a city that is off the NBA radar. Whether the Bulls have been off the radar or not, this is one of the premier cities in America. It's a great place to go. The facilities are top shelf. I think it's a fantastic job. I mean, who wouldn't want to come to Chicago and do that gig? I mean, I think it's a great job, David.
I do too, especially with a guy that they're pursuing is in a market that, you know, you look around the NBA in New York, LA, Chicago. There's some other great markets. You don't have to be a big market team, but this is certainly where I think a lot of general managers would aspire to. You're going to have money to spend. You're going to have power to exert. You're going to have a lot of things that make coming to the Bulls as the chief decision maker very appealing to guys who they're going to be interviewing.
312-644-6767. Also want to get back to some football stuff, David, when we come back from the break. I want to talk about a couple of things that Bigsy said. And, you know, I don't know if you care or not about what Vegas thinks of the Bears, but it was a big problem for me a year ago. I didn't quite understand why the number was so low, and it ended up being too high in retrospect. But I didn't quite understand why Vegas didn't believe in the Bears after the 12-4 season, and they were proven right. The fact that we're facing the same thing after an off season where you thought you would address some issues, I think we should talk about that too. Also, I think that I want to get your opinion of this. I saw a couple different places when they do the, you know, player coming in and the player going out, like most important player coming in, most important player coming out. I saw a couple different names, but the one that I saw twice, player going out, was Clinton Dix. Is that the guy you're going to miss most of all? Is that the player that left that you're most concerned about? Or when you cut a guy, does that not count? 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
When you talk to him as well, you understand the knowledge that he has for the game. He's very, very motivated right now, which I love. And so it's just a fit for us, a big size, you know, 6'6" playmaker that you can get some mismatches with. And I know me personally, very, very looking forward to being able to put him in some great situations.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is the voice of Matt Nagy. He, of course, the Bears head coach. And he's talking about the tight end, Jimmy Graham. And I don't know if you're looking at all the various lists of people putting together different things about free agency, but pretty much everywhere I've looked, Jimmy Graham is the player the Packers have most he's not listed as their key loss.
No.
That's Brian Bulaga would be the guy that that people think the Packers can't live without.
I understand that one. I understand that one.
Yeah, that makes more sense. What do you make of this, David? You know, we teased it before the break that I read on two different of these lists. And again, it's only a couple and people are still putting them together. But I thought it was interesting to see that, you know, as much as the quarterback gets mentioned, Robert Quinn gets mentioned. But the, you know, if you're doing a combined look at it, people think Clinton Dix is the player they could miss most. I guess that's because he's leaving as a free agent. I don't think that's the guy they miss the most.
I don't think that's the guy they miss the most. And I think if that were the case and they believed that to be true, he might still be a Bear, Molly. I think they might have worked harder or tried more to re-sign him. And the fact is, yeah, it wasn't necessarily anything that he did. It was maybe the effect that he had on the entire secondary with Eddie Jackson having to play a little bit more of an interchangeable role just because Clinton Dix wasn't that guy, as we say, it's become more of a cliche now, the box safety type, the guy who's going to be the run stopper. I would offer this. I would offer a guy whose name we don't necessarily mention a lot in terms of a loss that they're going to miss. But, you know, on January 6th, Kyle Long made it official. He was retiring. And I know that there are injuries that were a constant concern with him. And I know that you couldn't count on him maybe to play next season an entire year. But if we're talking about guys who are heading into 2020 that they have yet to replace, they haven't really adequately replaced Kyle Long. Because when healthy, he answered a question and you made your offensive line different. So I'm going to say my list would start with Kyle Long.
You know, I think it's funny because I see the Seahawks listed in... And their key addition is Greg Olsen, which I find amusing. And their key loss is Jermaine Ifedi. So I don't know. And again, that's just because they might not have lost a lot of guys. But I don't know that Jermaine Ifedi is not the guy that replaces Kyle Long. And I'm not saying they're not going to miss Kyle Long. And I understand why you brought it up. I mean, he is a Pro Bowl player. But in my mind, they kind of lost him a couple years ago. He's kind of been in and out of the lineup, and they haven't been able to rely on him. And I think, and this is just based on my whacked out look at it, if I'm sitting here saying that the Bears need to take a corner at the beginning, they get 2 second-round picks, and then they don't pick again till the 5th round. And if I'm promulgating the need for corner, then I've got to say that it's Prince Amukamara, who they could sign for less money right now if they actually wanted to.
But I don't feel
comfortable saying it, but I just don't see any other irretrievable loss.
Well, he was let go for financial purposes or reasons, right? Rather than just a decline in play.
Yes.
And he probably wasn't deemed worth the money they were going to pay him. And now I don't know where they are in terms of having the cap flexibility if they wanted to bring him back. I don't know what he would be willing to come back for. But he also, as we progress into this offseason of uncertainty where nobody knows where the next answer is necessarily going to come from, maybe he's sitting there in June, Mully. Maybe he's sitting there after June 1st and all the cap cuts are out there again. And Prince Amukamara has not had the market that he thought might develop for himself. And he and the Bears both need each other after the draft because, for whatever reason, they didn't take your advice. And in the second round, they picked an offensive tackle and tight end.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't think I would be – well, the tight end thing is absurd, David. You can't keep wasting assets on the tight end, okay? There's just that at some point, you got to say enough. You know, it's going to be that 10th tight end that really turns the corner for us. Enough. It's just too many. We're trying too hard. Give it a break. Try some of the people that you have.
Okay.
I can't go along. And I get it. There's only one tight end in the draft, and he's got a Bears connection, and he's got a Notre Dame connection, and I understand why everyone gets excited about it. But, I mean, my goodness gracious, that at some point, you just have to stop throwing assets at a position.
Okay, so if they don't end up with a corner, then I think they will draft the corner at some point. But the point remains, the Amukamara is not a guy that I would necessarily say – I wouldn't shut the door entirely if I'm Ryan Pace. I would think that Prince is a prince of a guy. You know, he's a great guy in the locker room. He's terrific representing your franchise. And if he's still out there and he can still play, then he would answer a pressing question. He was the second name on my list behind Kyle Long. I had Kyle Long, I had Prince, and then Molly, the third name that I thought was the guy that I don't think is still replaced. And I think they're hoping to do this in the draft as well. But Taylor Gabriel, again, when healthy, gave you an element to your offense that you don't currently have. And that's the speed to take the top off of defense. And where are they going to get that from? Because no matter what scheme you run, no matter who's taking the snaps, you need one of those guys.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. I had him written down here, too, just because I was wondering, hey, whatever happened to him? I was wondering that when they were playing, and that's the reason that he's gone. They had when you have money invested in people and they can't get on the field, that's when you start making some moves. The other guy I had, I didn't worry much about the offensive line, is Kwiatkowski. I think that it was a very interesting move they made, choosing Danny Trevathan over Kwiatkowski, and I think that they're in a win-now mode, as evidenced by that move, because they feel that the next year or two from Danny Trevathan is going to be better than they would get from Nick Kwiatkowski. And I just think that's curious. They just let him go and sign a bigger deal elsewhere. And if they were going with youth, they might have made a different decision.
I want to be respectful here because I think Nick Kwiatkowski was a really good Bear, and I liked when he was on the field. But isn't he just one of those guys that you look at and you think you could get one of those in the draft if you need to? He's a two-down linebacker, right? He's a depth guy. He's a great special teamer. But is he also a guy that is worth the money? That I feel like the Raiders paid him a lot of dough, Mully. I don't know about – I think the Bears made the right call there because in Trevathan, you have somebody that is a proven disruptor if he can stay on the field. And – Kwiatkowski was all potential. Trevathan's all production.
I just wrote him down as on the list because of the guys that left. Okay.
Right.
I agree with what you're saying, and I've been saying this for a while, that he is a two down linebacker and that you would think you can find that kind of guy. Now he's a hitter and he can blow a guy up.
Yep.
And sometimes in the course of a game, that will take a defense to another level. If you're in a tough spot and a guy comes up and puts a hat on someone, that could fire up everyone and that can change a game. But when I look at the guys that departed, I didn't have Kyle Long because, you know, I kind of felt that happened a year ago, and I kind of felt that had to do with training camp, meeting room. I didn't think that had a lot to do with, you know, I mean, he's been hurt and he's been unhappy. So I really felt that was more the case. So I didn't think about that. When I put the list together, I got to Kwiatkowski fairly quickly because I guess I don't put a ton of stock in what happened with Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. I think he's basically a box safety, and I think that they had him playing a little more center field, and that was at Eddie Jackson's expense. And I think that you need a box safety more than you need Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. And again, when I'm talking about the corner, when I'm talking about the safety, I think you need guys that can go get the ball. And I think if you get a playmaker on that defense at the corner position, there's going to be opportunity based on the pass rush.
There are veteran cornerbacks out there. We talked about them last week, guys who you could look at in the Bears depth chart and think, boy, that would really be nice to have them supplementing that depth. There are guys out there in free agency that are still waiting to feel that maybe it's the third wave now. We're in sort of that awkward point in the calendar, Mully, in the NFL calendar, just close enough to the draft to where teams might be waiting to see what they get out of the draft, and they might be neglecting some of those big veteran names out there in free agency. And I say that in regard to the Bears, but also you look around the league, Jadeveon Clowney is still unsigned. Do you think that he signs with the team before the draft to kind of, or are teams going to wait to see who they get and how they fit in before they make that kind of investment into a guy that I think as a lot of, I mean, he's a difference maker. I don't know why he's still out there.
Well, I think it's amusing. Supposedly Cleveland is hot and heavy after him now.
Yeah.
They're willing to give him the most money, apparently, so that would make sense. Cleveland loves that big signing. They love to kind of spill some dough on a guy, and it doesn't surprise me that they're atop that list. But I think he gets signed before the draft, but that's, you know, it's 3 weeks. I mean, I think he gets signed by Cleveland here in the next few days. They love to win the offseason. It doesn't really matter once you get in. They are now what the Washington Redskins once were, the team that goes out and just collects the big names and then fails. So I think it would make sense to me if that's where Clowney wound up. I would love to see him in a Bears uniform. I think the guy's got tons of potential and could do a lot of different things. And, you know, all the things that they said about Leonard Floyd, how close he was and how good he was, that's the reality with Clowney, okay? He's close. He's right there, and you put him into a group with other pass rushers, you get something special going.
But isn't he a duplicate? You've got two other guys who, I mean, for the money you would have to spend for Clowney.
Yes.
Could you justify it?
Not now.
Yeah,
but I'm saying,
right.
But would he be an upgrade over Robert Quinn? I honestly think so. I love Clowney. I think he's an unbelievable athlete. You know, he's faster than a speeding bullet. He can leap tall buildings in a single bound. I mean, I don't know that he's a make or break player, but I think he's a damn good player. And if with Khalil Mack on one side, it's that ship sailed in the night. Don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that they add him. I'm just saying, you know, when we did that question about if you could gift someone to the Bears, hell, I'll take guys like that all day and twice on Sundays. That's awesome.
That's why Russell Wilson is tweeting at him.
we got to get out of here because we got to bring in Jim. We're going to talk to our Jim Miller next. He's been through some quarterback battles, and we'll ask him what it means to a player, what a quarterback competition really means, how to look at it. We'll do that next with Jim Miller. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.